Great to be with you tonight. My name's Sam, in case you don't know me. From the 6th to the 23rd of February, 10 of us from this congregation went to Nepal for a two-week mission exposure trip. And the idea of the trip was to give people who are interested in long-term cross-cultural mission an opportunity to see what that's like, and as a process for them to discern what God's call is on their lives. And we're really excited tonight to be able to share with you the joys and challenges and learning curves of that experience. I'm going to start by looking at the Bible, the passage from 1 Thessalonians. So if you've got your Bible with you, keep it open. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. Now that passage was Paul hearing a report from a guy called Timothy about a group of Christians a long way away from where he was. And Paul really cared about those Christians. In verse 5 of chapter 3, he says he's terrified that they might be tempted to give up their faith in Jesus. But Timothy has brought him good news about their faith and love, and Paul is encouraged because of their faith, says that in verse 7. And in verse 8, he even says, "Now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord." He's saying that his life depends on these Christians standing firm in the faith. It's like saying, "Now I can breathe again since I've heard that you are firm in your faith in Jesus." So this brief report that Timothy has given Paul about how the Thessalonians are going as Christians gives Paul a lot of encouragement and joy. Look at verse 9. "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" He can't thank God enough for how much joy he has received in hearing about their faith. So Timothy's short report about the faith of Christians a long way away brings Paul life-giving joy and encouragement. The testimony of the faith of these Christians brings Paul life-giving joy, great encouragement. And this team that went to Nepal is really looking forward to the opportunity that we have tonight to stand in Timothy's position in a way. We're bringing you a report about how the gospel is taking root in Nepal and about how Christians are standing firm in their faith. And our hope and prayer is that you will have great encouragement and joy in hearing the stories that we share tonight. We hope that even though you weren't able to go to Nepal yourself, you might be greatly encouraged by the faith of Nepali Christians. And we hope that their testimony might help you to stand firm in your faith in the Lord Jesus. So why don't I pray as we begin. Father, thank you for the joy and encouragement and nourishment to our souls that each of our team received by going to Nepal. And we pray that we might be able to share that tonight, that each one here might be encouraged and have joy in your presence because of what you are doing in that country. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I hand over to Catherine, who's going to share about why we went to Nepal, I'm just going to add to Sam's little bio of what Nepal is like by telling you about Nepal's Christian history in about 30 seconds, hopefully. So before 1950, Nepal was totally shut off to the rest of the world. That meant that no trade could go in or out, no foreigners could go into Nepal, and it was totally isolated to the rest of the world. And there are many, many stories of Christian missionaries, some from Australia, who were waiting on the border between India and Nepal to go into Nepal. They wanted to go in and share the gospel with a totally isolated country. And some waited there for 12 years or more. And Christians were praying all over the world that Nepal might open up so the gospel could go in. And the first Nepali Christian actually was baptized there on the border with India. And the borders opened in 1951. And today there are thought to be between 500,000 and 800,000 Christians in Nepal. So the number of Christians in Nepal has gone from less than 10 to over 500,000 in about 60 years. The church has undergone incredible growth there. And we were really excited to be part of that.
Hi, everyone. So there were a few reasons that we and us as individuals on the team decided to go to Nepal. So because this was a mission exposure or vision trip, a major reason for going was to experience cross-cultural mission firsthand and see some of the ways that God's working through the missionaries in a very different context to what we're used to here in Melbourne. And I was curious to see more of what ministry actually could look like in another culture and context, and how it practically plays out in people's lives, as well as the impact that it has on those in the country. So it was a great opportunity for a few of us, myself included, to gain more of an idea of how God is calling us to serve him, both short and longer term, and whether overseas mission is the right context to do that in. And for me, it was a chance to get involved and experience overseas mission personally, rather than just know about it, see others doing it, or hear about it at church. And for a couple of us, for Kirsty and I, it was also an opportunity to see nursing and OT work in a cross-cultural setting through a mission hospital that we went to, and to be exposed to the work of medical missionaries in Nepal. So I thought that going to Nepal to see this would be helpful to understand what day-to-day OT work looks like in a missional capacity, and think more about whether that was something to be involved in the future. For others in the team, going to Nepal was an opportunity to be immersed in and learn about Nepali culture and language for a short time, to in turn help ministry to local Nepalis living around Blackburn, particularly through the Burnt Street Ministry, and to think about how to better evangelise to Hindus and just generally how to better love and serve people from a different country in Australia.
All right, so when we arrived in Kathmandu and we spent basically kind of 2 weeks of ministry in Nepal and partnership with the OM team there, and that was split into two quite different weeks. The first week we went outside of Kathmandu and we split into four smaller teams where we partnered with different members of the OM long-term team. And so we were able to participate in what the OM team calls their seed sowing ministry. So as Sam mentioned, the gospel has gone forth and grown and borne much fruit in Nepal in the last 60 years. However, there's still lots of places in the country where there is little or no gospel witness. As Sam Oldland said at the beginning, Kathmandu is not very large city for a country of 27 million, and many people live in rural, remote places where the only place you can get there, or the only means of transportation to get there, is by walking. So we were able to participate in the seed sowing ministry, which has the vision to sow the gospel in the least reached and most gospel poor regions of Nepal. And we were able to do that in one district called Siangja, which I think is on the slide. That's the little red thing there in the middle of the country. So we were able to participate in the OM seed sowing ministry in three different ways. Firstly, by book selling. We were able to just walk around as teams, go into these remote villages and sell small Bibles or gospel tracts to people. And because we're foreigners, there's an added openness to us coming into the village and us being able to distribute gospel literature. Secondly, we're able to show films. So there's this one film called The Message of Happiness, or Kushiko Khabar in Nepali, which is basically a one-hour gospel presentation. It's cut up from the Jesus film, and there's little bits put on either side. And that's a great way to be able to present the gospel in a clear, intelligible way to Nepalis. There was this one village that Jono Williams and I went into called Rangitangi, which I think is a pretty cool name for a village. But we were able to go and we played soccer with some of the boys in the village for half an hour, and then we invited them to come and watch one of our films. And so maybe 20 or 30 boys from probably 10 years old through to 20 years old came and watched one of our films. And the third way that we were able to participate with the seed sowing ministry was through village partnership. The OM team for over 3 years now has been partnering with one village in Siangja district called Maidan. And one of the long-term workers has been going there with teams for over 3 years, and there's been a small library established in a rented room of someone's house, and that's been able to become a place where ministry to the whole village has been facilitated. And it's been really exciting over this 3 year plus process to see individuals and a few families come to faith, and a few more people who you can see are on that journey of becoming followers of Jesus, and being able to see the way in which this whole community is being transformed by the gospel. So the girls were able to participate in this ministry by working with the OM team to run a children's program, an outreach program to the children in that village, as well as meet with the believers in the village, and also just meet other people in the village and help continue and sustain that long-term witness there.
What I learned. Number one. It is so clear to me that God was extremely gracious to us while we were in Nepal. Whilst on trekking ministry, I learnt two things in particular. Firstly, I learnt a lot about what it means to trust God in His gospel work. Whilst we were going from village to village, selling books, it was very easy to get arrogant or mistrustful about what would happen to the books. I think my mind began to think, well, I've put in all this effort and have sold all these books, but how do I know my work will bring fruit? Reflecting on these thoughts, I saw how ridiculous this line of thinking was. It was not out of my strength that we had sold so many books. I didn't actually have probably more than 20 words of Nepali. If God was gracious enough to be working in these people's hearts to bring them to even buy the books, how much more can we trust that He would be sowing the seeds in people's heart and growing them? I saw that this was not Jono's gospel work, but God's gospel work. Secondly, God challenged me to look for where His mission is, not where my comfort is best served. In one small village, that's ridiculous. In one small village, maybe they should be called smillages, called Naudanda, we began to look for somewhere to stay. We were told that there was a hotel in about 5 minutes down the road, but we kept looking for someone's house to stay in. In the end, the only family willing to take us in for a night was the poorest family in the village, with the smallest house in the village. In my mind, I got quite frustrated at Vladimir, who was the Moldovan guy, who was the third person in our trekking. He was the trek leader. And just sort of questioning him and going, but this isn't going to be comfortable, and this, it would have just been much easier to go down the road and stay in a hotel. Talking to Ian the next day about this sort of decision and sharing these thoughts, he helped me to see that comfort in that situation wouldn't have best served both those humble Nepali people, but also God's purpose. That night we were able to show the Jesus movie, the Kushi Kokobar, which a lot of people watched. I think it was probably the time we actually had most people watching it. And some people actually delayed their dinner by about an hour simply to watch the movie, which was a blessing to be there for. And we were also able to form a friendship with this family. This old guy and his wife, who were hilarious. They were just awesome people to meet. And also be able to bless them with the gospel and give them that for free and hope that they would read it and learn about God's salvation promise. So I think I look and I take that message back into my life, and I see so much how I prioritize comfort over sharing the gospel or serving others. And I think God challenged me in Nepal to put His work over my desires.
Going to Nepal was a huge learning curve for me, and I learnt a million and one things. But a really key thing that I felt God was telling me was to put my faith in Him. And one morning we were having devotion, and I think we were doing Hebrews 11, and we were talking about faith and how having faith is like sitting down on a chair that you can't see, and you just have to trust that it's there and that it's going to catch you when you sit down. And I really, felt that I had to put my faith in God that He would provide, and that He did. He provided us with food and our physical needs and safety. But he also provided us with opportunities, so many opportunities for him to work through us. I felt like God was opening so many doors for us and really putting us in the right place at the right time for his gospel to best be heard. And I thought that was amazing. I also really felt God telling me to have faith that he can work in people and that it's all him and it's not through our work. So that if all we can do for someone is give them a book, give them a gospel and be on our way, that we shouldn't stress about it, because God's word's alive, and God is alive and he works in people's lives. And having faith that God can work in the most unlikely of people and soften the hardest of hearts, and that God can use the most unlikely of people as long as we have faith and trust in him to work in us and use us, no matter who we are.
We went to their AIDS Link Centre. Now, this is a program where AIDS victims and their families, they'll come to live at the centre, where the OM workers will care for them in various ways. They also run AIDS awareness programs and different education for that. There's the Tibetan Buddhist ministry. Now, this is one of the hardest ministries that they've had to do because of how resistant these Buddhists are. Though it has been really encouraging that in the last couple of years they've been seeing some fruit through long-term friendships that have been built. And as part of learning about this, we spent a morning at a Buddhist monastery where we were able to talk with a lot of Buddhists and see and learn a bit about them. Under the same ministry, we had the chance to help run some kids' games at a Buddhist boarding school. This one was a personal highlight for me. So the OM team had just been given permission from the school's principal to be able to run a program. So we spent most of the day playing games with them, which was quite a lot of fun. They've actually been asked to return to the school later, which will give them the opportunity to share more openly about Jesus. And that was really encouraging to hear. So as well as all this, we spent a lot of evenings and a lot of meals with the OM team there. We spent time worshipping, praying and studying the Bible. That was really encouraging for our whole team as well as the team there. So quite a lot happened that week and we all learnt quite a lot. That was our second week.
So I've been asked to talk a little bit about what we learned, but when I was thinking about it, I was thinking maybe that there's a distinction to be made, at least for me personally, between what God was trying to teach me and what I actually possibly maybe learnt. And I think for all of us it's something that's still happening. So I learnt two things in the second week. First one, this one's for you, Mavis, it's God's mission. God opens up lots of opportunities for us to share the gospel, especially conversationally, in the most of unlikely of places and with the most unlikely people. The thing that I learnt, and I think we all learnt in the second week, was just how cool Christian community is and just how nice it is when Christian community, live-in community, works well. So there was a girls' house and a boys' house of the OM short-term team, and both houses would get together and do like devos in the morning. They'd do dinner together at night. They'd pray. It was really gospel-centered. And just how much of an encouragement that was for us. And we also did this thing called, it was a prayer afternoon, where we got to see, and I say got to, like we got to see all these Nepali nationals who have come through like their leadership program that OM runs, this room with quite a low roof kind of crammed with just all these different people. And we sang in English and we sang in Nepali and it was cool and we danced and we prayed all at once. But the encouragement that these Nepalis who, as Sam said before, like they don't have a history of being a Christian. They've just recently become a Christian, some of them through the seed sowing ministry. They come through this leadership program and they worship God and they worship with such vigor and they pray with such enthusiasm. And I think I learnt that we should do that too.
Hi guys, my name is Matt And tonight I've been asked to share with you a little bit about how we've been encouraged to follow up with ministry now that we're back here in Australia, how the Nepal trip has influenced our future aspirations and goals for God's ministry. So the first thing to say is that God worked mightily throughout the entire Nepal trip. We all learned a great deal and have, I think, been transformed by our experiences there. And while perhaps not all of us have been shown exactly what ministry God has planned for us, certainly we have all been encouraged to continue God's work when we get back. So before I left, my hope and my dream that as I went to Nepal was that I would learn more about what it means to work in aid agencies. I have a desire to put a business degree to work by working in an aid agency. And so I got the awesome opportunity while we're in Nepal to meet a bloke called Paul. So his ministry in Nepal is one to take care of Shalay Farm, which is what John was talking about before, a ministry that is looking to equip pastors to farm in their local villages and also to provide funds to run the Nepal national team's headquarters. But his other ministry is B4T, which means Business for Transformation. What that looks like is Paul goes out into the community and finds faithful Christian believers who would like to start businesses. And Paul's job is to discern whether those businesses are good for kingdom impact. He discerns whether they are good for social change that God would desire in the nation, or good for gospel proclamation that God would desire in the nation. So a couple of things, programs that have been started, businesses that have been started. One that works for social change is a business a woman has set up. She got funds from the OM team to start up a business for women in prostitution, to bring them out of that, to buy sewing machines for them and set them up to give to, make a living for their family that isn't simply selling their bodies, but a more constructive way of doing that. Another one that they've set up over there is a ministry where a pastor has been given some money to set up a mechanics workshop so that he can make a living for himself while he ministers to his church. So I was really encouraged by hearing that. And the ministry itself has wider-reaching implications, calling people from all over the world to invest in companies that are being started in Nepal for kingdom impact. So for me, it was an encouraging moment and that I could be a part of Business for Transformation, perhaps not with OM, but in an aid agency, I could work, use my business skills to bring kingdom impact to the world. And so for me, it was a really awesome opportunity.
So as others have said, this trip was definitely, part of it was discerning God's will for the future and about long-term mission. But some of you may also be aware that I'm involved in Nepali ministry here in Melbourne at the moment with some others from the team as well. So there's Burnt Street in Nunawading. So going to Nepal, one of the things I wanted to be able to grow in was an understanding of Nepali culture and how it was impacted by the strong religious emphasis there that's so present even on corners with temples and things like that. And so in learning about this, I was hoping to grow in a better understanding of how to share the gospel with my friends back here in Burnt Street and understand just how their Hindu culture impacts their decisions and the way that they think about life. And it's our hope and prayer that this trip will open up many doors and new opportunities for conversations with our friends at Burnt Street. Just as we share stories of what we did and how, and of our experience of Nepal.
Well, one member of the team wasn't able to be here tonight, Elspeth Carr. Some of you should know her. And she also, I think, is extremely excited about what the trip to Nepal might mean for her friendships with the Nepali women in Nanawading. She's got some very strong friendships there and is really looking forward to be able to share what she did in Nepal with those people. So we hope that you've been encouraged by these stories. As Matt said, and I want to say it again, we haven't said everything. Some people have only said what they did or what they learnt, one thing. Please do come and talk to us afterwards. We've got lots of stories that we'd really like to tell, and lots of things that we learnt and it might be an encouragement to you. So please come and talk to any of us afterwards. But just to finish from 1 Thessalonians again, if you open up your Bibles again, the last three verses of chapter 3, verse 11, 12, 13. Paul is overjoyed by hearing about these Christians' faith, and he really wants to be with them. But while he's not with them, Paul actually has a long-distance ministry to them. He has a long-distance way of serving them and of blessing them, and that's prayer. If you look at verse 12, he says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." We can be involved in this long-distance ministry. And we can pray these two prayers that Paul prays. We can pray them for our brothers and sisters in Nepal, or our friends down the road, or Christians anywhere around the world. We can pray that their love would increase, love expressed in action to one another and to the world around them. And we can pray that God would strengthen them to be holy and blameless before him when Jesus returns. And we really want to encourage you tonight to be involved in the long-distance ministry of prayer to Nepal, to people all over the world. If you don't know how to do that, or you don't know what to pray, I really want to encourage you to get a book called Operation World, which is a book produced by OM, and it has a little bio on every country in the world, an update on the status of the evangelical church there, and how you can pray for those people. John Piper actually said, apart from the Bible, that's the most important book that you should own. So it must be pretty important if John Piper said that. So get yourself a copy and take the chance to be involved in the long-distance ministry of prayer. I might just pray now as we finish. Thanks for listening to us. Father, thank you again for all the things that you taught us, the way you used our team in Nepal, and the opportunity to share that tonight. And pray that you would give us the heart that you have for the world, that we would pray for our brothers and sisters all over, and that you would work through our prayers to bring your kingdom in this world for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.